This afternoon, I'm with Vera Bickham, who lives in St Asaph. Good afternoon, Vera.
Good afternoon.
You've had quite an association with Wales over the years. You're 91 now and spent quite a few years in Wales, but you started out life in the South East.
Yes, in London, of course, where I grew up. I was born in the same house I grew up in.
But, of course, during your childhood, war intervened and that took you out into Norfolk.
That's right, yes. I was five on September the 12th, 1939. Well, that's when war broke out in September. And we were still around for quite a while. Nothing much happened. You know, we sort of had an air raid shelter built and things like that. But, yes, mainly. Then things started happening, bombs started dropping, and people started getting evacuated. And so I was evacuated with the local grammar school because my two sisters were there already. And the whole school moved to Norfolk. So we all moved to Norfolk. But my mother had to come with me, as I was only five. And she was helping with the, you know, moving the children onto the train and, you know, travelling out to Norfolk. And when we got to the other end, we all stood on the platform and local people came and chose us. So, but when it got to us, you see, there were four of us, three children and a lady. So nobody was very keen to take all of us. And the headmistress of a primary, which was in a local village, she'd been organising all this. So she said, well, you'll have to come home with me. And she contacted a farm, which was next door to her, about a couple of miles up the road. And they took my two sisters, and she had my mother and myself.
Right.
So her husband was away in the war. So she moved out of their bedroom into a single bedroom, and mother and I had the bigger room. And mum helped her with the cleaning and cooking sort of thing while she was working, and I went to the little local primary.
And you weren't completely out of danger, so even going to school you had your run-in with the German pilots.
Oh, that was further up the road when I was at a farm, yes. And Dad wasn't very good at looking after himself, was he, being an older man? And he'd fought in the First World War and had a head wound, you know, he had a big dip in his head. And so Mum had to go home. So the headmistress thought, what can I do? So anyway, she took us to a Mr. and Mrs. Plummer, who lived near Downham Market, which was where the school was. And she took us in, and she had two daughters. I never saw one for ages, but the younger one was, she just left school and started work. And Mr. Plummer was a farmer, although they didn't live on the farm then. And there was a big field by us where we used to have the RAF camping, waiting to be sent somewhere, you know, or the army waiting. And it was like an army camp, really. Yeah. I used to wander around talking to them, and they used to show me pictures of their little children, you know, things like that.
But then you grew up, you got married, and then your husband's work brought you to Wales.
Yes, it did. And he was offered a job in Chester. So we came up, looked at Chester. Marvellous. You know, we're moving out of London. London was getting overcrowded. It was getting busy and, you know, all sorts. So we accepted the job in Chester. And we moved to Connors Quay, where his friend had moved, because there was a nice housing estate there. And we got a nice semi-detached house with central heating and a garage for $3,225. And our mortgage wasn't very much.
And it was a national firm of builders, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, Sir Lindsay Parkinson Builders, yes. So we knew them. We'd heard of them.
And
so they built very nice, very different houses in the same estate, you know. There were bungalows, three-bedroom ones, smaller ones, dormer bungalows, detached houses of different shapes and sizes. And we had a semi.
Yeah. And once you'd built your home there, then you got your first job in Wales, didn't you, with the
yes,
estate agents?
Yes, I did, an estate agent, and I worked in Shotton. And, yes, I quite like that, actually.
That was Thomas C. Adams.
It was Thomas C. Adams, yes, and it was interesting. Mr. Howden had started a small office in Mould with his wife, I believe. Tiny, weeny office. And they still kept that on. And they had this other office in Shotton, where I worked, you know. And so I started there. But I wasn't very keen on one of the partners. But in the end, we sort of shed our differences and got to know each other and got on well together. Uh-huh. And some days would come in and Colin and I, who used to work at the office once they'd moved out to Chester, we still stayed there. If he came in through the door, you know, and came and rushed straight to the office, and in there, you see, Colin used to see him arriving, you see, parking his car. So I used to make a coffee, put it on the desk, leave his cigarettes and his lighter there, just in case he was in a bad mood. And if he went rushing in and shut the door, he was. And then about half an hour later, he might come out and say, "Good morning," you know, be as charming as ever.
And you were there until your daughter came along, and that prompted a move of house.
So I was there after about 6 years, was it? I was there, something like that. Yeah, so I suddenly acquired a daughter after 14 long years of marriage. We've been waiting all those years, but I've had lovely jobs, so I was never that worried about, you know. I was quite happy working, you know.
But then your daughter's school, that took...
Sorry?
Your daughter's schooling, that meant that you moved house to...
Yes, it did, because we didn't think much of the primary school there. She wasn't learning much, or didn't seem to be learning much. And so we moved to Harden, because they had a good grammar school and they also had an excellent primary school. And we moved to Harden, to a lovely big detached house in a small cul-de-sac, builder from near Mould. Buckley. He just built a few houses in a cul-de-sac and just a couple in the road in the outside. And that was off of Wood Lane. And so we bought one of those, which was very nice. But I always felt it was still a square box, you know what I mean, in a modern house. I desired living in a cottage.
And you eventually got your wish.
I eventually did, and we moved out to Cloudnewith. But it was marvellous there. All Welsh-speaking people, of course. But we were used to that because our neighbours in Connors Quay, they'd been on Anglesey. Bill worked for Camel Lairds. He was a draftsman, and they closed Camel Lairds on Anglesey and they had to go to Birkenhead. So he moved to Connors Quay because it was closer, you know. And they had kept the stores at Abba Falls.
Oh, right, yes.
Yes, the stores there. And they're listed while he was at work. And Ian, their son, and a daughter they had, Ian couldn't speak any English.
He just spoke Welsh.
Yeah. He spoke Welsh. Well, they were supposed to have been taught in both, but they hadn't been. So he used to come out and about with us all the time. And we sort of got him going. Yeah.
So so when you got to Clouds there, it was quite natural for people to be speaking Welsh.
Yes, I love to go and hear Welsh. I miss it. Well, we've lived here 16 years, I think. 17 years now, I think. And I've lost everything I learned. You know, I started to manage. We used to go down to the local pub because the cottage wanted renovating. And they sort of, speaking Welsh down there, but we were quite happy. We went in and had a meal because we had the builders in. They were sort of wrecking the place and we didn't have a kitchen. So we used to go and eat at the pub down there, or the one in the village. And he said, "Oh, you're on holiday?" And we said, no, we've just moved in up the road. Mrs. So-and-so's cottage, yes. Oh, I remember, he said, when I was a lad, she used to have a little room at the front and she used to sell pop. Used to go and buy bottles of pop there. So anyway, we were the first people to renovate it. It wanted a damp-proof course, woodworm and dry rot treatment, you know, everything. Really, it was a solid house. And we had one room which had a boarded floor, the snug. And when the builder had to take up some floorboards for some reason, the roots growing right across from the roses and shrubs at the side of the house. So they all had to come up. And we had some big rocks outside, you know. So he put all these big rocks down. He went down about 6 foot. And under outside by the wall, it extended about 4 foot each side. And so John said, "Well, this will never blow down." So it was well built like that.
And you had beautiful views to the...
Oh, marvellous views.
Clwydians and the
across to Corwin. Corwin was down below. And there were little hillocks between. And when the mist came in the morning, people used to come up to look at this. It used to get all misty and all little tops of hillocks poking out under, above the mist in the sunshine, you know. It was lovely.
Hmm.
And every day you looked out and you saw something different. And I could also see the cars coming over from Llangollen over the pass at the end there.
Hmm.
We couldn't quite see the Clwyd range because that was to the left.
Yeah.
But what I used to love was the valley jets. They used to come over and they used to bomb Corwin. They used to go disappear behind the hills over to Corwin. And Corwin used to go mad at this, you see. And then once when John was up a ladder on the roof, they came over and went whew over our roof. And but as soon as I heard them coming, I used to go out and look. I used to love the valley jets.
And then you moved down to Llanelidon to be a little bit closer to civilization.
We moved down out of the snow line. It was rather difficult to get home.
Hmm.
They used to let me go. I worked in Mould, so I had to go over the hills to Mould, you know. Uh-huh. And I actually got written off there as I was going out of Mould. Going out of Rhythin, sorry. And my driving instructor had always told me, he was a police driver from Hendon, and he said to me, if anything's going wrong, he said, always, you've only got 2 seconds, he said, to decide if you can save yourself or not. He said, and always remember that. Always try and get out of it if you can. So I was driving, I was just outside the thing, and the little village there, there's a church and a pub and side turning there. I just got to the side turning, and this older man was looking at a big lorry coming down the hill, and realised, thought he could get out in front of him before he came down. So he shot out, hit me in the side, and I was going over towards a stone wall, white stone wall of a cottage. So, and I went, I wafted in the air like that, just like that it was. And I thought, right. And it wasn't in gear, so I slammed it into gear, and there was a little knob, on my steering wheel, you know. So I grabbed the knob and I was going like that. And I got out of the way of the lorry, and I just had a 6-inch scratch by the roof on the offside. And I went over to the other side of the road, and there's a little narrow curb there. And I got up there and parked, and I got out of the car, and he came rushing over to me and grabbed me and said, "Oh, sir," he said, "if you hadn't moved, I could have killed you. I would have killed you." He couldn't stop because it was such a heavy lorry.
Yeah.
So I said, thank Colin.
In Flanelledon, of course, you were on the Leyland estate, weren't you?
Yes, Leyland estate.
Yeah, and they used to have some very famous cricket matches there. Oh, you saw one or two stars.
Yes, it was gentlemen versus villagers. That was right. It. Gentlemen versus villagers.
And who did you see?
To get to work for the gentlemen, I used to have a famous person, you know.
And who did you see there?
And we heard, first of all, it was Imran Khan who came over. But the best one they ever said was, whose name I've forgotten.
Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd, that's right. One of the Blues brothers. And he knew absolutely nothing about cricket. And the way he sort of performed, they had them all in fits and stitches. So he was a very, very popular visitor to the cricket match.
And a nice community to live in.
Very nice community, yes. When my husband had a brain hemorrhage, one of my neighbours, I was still at work at 70, don't laugh, purely because of our clients.
Yeah.
I worked for an estate, for a chartered accountant then in Mould. And I tried to retire at 60, but they said, "Oh no, you don't want to retire yet. I'll stay till 65. When John would have retired at 65 as well. And so I stayed on to 65, and then he retired, and he didn't think he'd retire, first of all, because he wouldn't have anything to do. But once he'd been home a fortnight, he said, I don't want a job, no. So
which firm did you work for in Mould?
Duncan Sheared Glass.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they're now a big firm on ULO on the big estate there. Well, three of us started the office above Iceland in Mould.
All right.
Like a one-room office with another office off for the manager. And yes, we started off because the local farmers started coming to us. Of course, they didn't want to go into Liverpool, did they? And didn't sort of understand Liverpool people. So they came to us.
Yeah.
So I used to end up going out to Bala, collecting books.
So they'd come to the market in Mould and then pop into the accountant's?
No, I don't think they used the market in Mould much.
Oh, right, okay.
Because Bala was quite a way off, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But mind you, one of the farmers from Bella, one of my clients from Bella, Don Jones, who used to breed sheepdogs, he used to rent land from the Naylor Lane estate.
Oh, right.
And he used to come out from Ballor every day, Dom, to see to the sheep.
In Llanelledon?
In Llanelledon, yes. Mm. All that way he used to come. Yeah. He was an excellent farmer, he was. Mm-hmm. But he annoyed Sir Philip by buying the prize bull when Sir Philip wanted him.
All right.
Yeah, beat him.